So let me transition and continue on with some riddles right now, because I feel like we may need to engage your brain. If you got a crepe on the way in and you're kind of in that brunch kind of comatose place, this will help you. And if you haven't yet woken up yet, then this is going to get your brain working. Are you ready? We'll start with some easy riddles and we'll work our way to some more challenging ones. I have a single eye, but cannot see. What am I? A needle. Yeah, very good. All right. Some people are like, that was hard. What do you mean? I didn't get that one at all. I get wet while drying. What am I? A towel. All right. Still, some of you are like, I'm not clicking in on some of these. Okay. The more you take, the more you leave behind. What am I? Steps. Footsteps, I heard it. Very good job. Someone reading my notes in the back over there? Jack, you have my notes. Don't give the answers. Okay. I'm a seed with three letters in my name. Take away two, and I still sound the same. A P. That's right. Good job. Some people are like, I'm 0 for 4 right now. Okay. I'm heavy forward, but backwards I'm not. What am I? I'm heavy forward. A ton. Do you get it? Spell not backwards. There it is. Good job. It takes a guy in his postgraduate degree to figure that out. Well done. Nice to see you, Mr. Bischel. Hey, here's the last one, okay? And this is what's going to get us into our sermon this morning. So there's the tip off. The more you chase it, the further it gets. You can have it, although you don't have the power to get it. What is it? It's joy. It could be some other things too, but we're talking about joy this morning. I'm not quite sure when it changed for me. Perhaps it's still a struggle that I have, but I've been a chaser of joy. Well, probably more happiness for more of my life than I would prefer to admit. Like from dating relationships to the pursuit of like accolades in sports to like having the best friend or being the best friend to people or even like the latest and greatest, you know, gadgets. And this is going to tell my age a little bit, but when like the personal cell phone came out, right, it was still the size of a brick, right, you put in your pocket, but not the one that you carried, but I like had to have it because I thought that was going to make me happy. Anyone else like understand what I'm talking about? If I could just get like the latest thing. What I didn't realize is that I was really looking for joy. That's really what was motivating me deep down. Yeah, but as a riddle goes, the more I went after it, the further away it seemed to get. Have you ever felt that joy was elusive, like playing a sick game of hide and seek, or that you see other people who are just so joyful and you're like, I would like what they're having, but it just doesn't seem to like come as naturally or easy? If you are, you're in really good company. In fact, happiness instead of joy is one of the main things in life that actually people look for and pursue. Yet it's really joy that we're all after. Susan Nusinen makes her living as a psychologist, and she helps people become happy. Literally, she's published in Psychology Today, and she's been known by her clients as the happyologist. And she writes this: the chase is making people anxious. It's making people overwhelmed. It's making people feel pressure that they have to be happy and find happiness all the time. It's a big problem, but luckily it's a solvable one, she says. Now, I don't agree with anything that she writes after this, but her premise is spot on, right? Joy is a fruit of something else. It's something you and I don't have the power to get, but something you and I can definitely have and experience every day. Joy is possessed indirectly, not directly. And we've been talking about this for the past 2 weeks. If you remember, Dan gave us a pathway to joy. Allow God, get back to allowing God to be the shepherd, right? Get back to being sheep. It's going to right-size things. And then we live and we come under the care and the protection of our Heavenly Father. That brings joy. Ken gave us another pathway last week, living the life where we receive God's love and allow that love to move through us as we give it away. And as we give that love away, it brings joy because that love is meant to be given away. It aligns us with who we were created to be. And so this morning, I want to take a final look. Next week, Church at the Lake, we're going to have some fun out there together and doing some celebrating and some stories and baptisms. But today, we're going to take a final look at another pathway to joy, in which joy is the outcome of living a fruitful life or living with the fruits of the Spirit. And we're going to unpack that together this morning. I want to jump right into our passage. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 15. We're back in the Gospel of John. John is the fourth of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You find it right at the beginning of your New Testament. I'm going to put this up on the screens for us as well. But I want to start with verse 15. I'm sorry, chapter 15, verse 11. So the very last verse of our section, we're going to start at the end, right? We're going to start with like the crux or the answer, so to speak. John 15, 11 says this. This is Jesus talking. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Complete, overflowing, coming to full maturity. I mean, this is the joy that Jesus is talking about. And so the answer is this. You and I have the capacity for complete overflowing joy. This is the good news. We're made to contain and be joyful and have joy that our circumstances around us like don't rock at all. But now we need to go back to the beginning because Jesus said, what I've told you is that this is going to happen. And the question is, well, what did he tell him? Like, that's what we have to figure out. That's what we're going to read this morning. So go back to chapter 15, verse 1, and let's read together. Jesus is saying this in a great metaphor. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. By the way, it doesn't say he cuts the person off. He says he cuts the branches that don't bear the fruit, right? So while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken you. Verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. And if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So, what's Jesus saying here? What did he tell his disciples so this joy would be in them and it would be overflowing? Remain in me and you'll get the good fruits of joy. It sounds really, really simple. And now we're going to turn to our listening guide because when we think about the fruits of the Spirit and remaining and this whole process about getting joy, which is a part of the fruits of the Spirit indirectly, there's five words. They all begin with the letter F. So just acknowledge that that's funny. And this is church, folks. So leave it there. And I want you to remember these five words when it comes to this process. And the first one is this. We'll put them up on the screen for you. Fruit. You and I are created to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We're created to bear the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit that grows inside us, it's meant to happen. It's not by accident. It's not one of these things where it's like, oh, I know he said he'd give me peace and love, but I don't even know how to hold that. No, like it resonates with us when we experience God's peace or love. Or we are self-controlled. Like, it's made to be a part of the fabric of who we are. Now, who can tell me what all the fruits of the Spirit are in Galatians 5? Love. Let's do it together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We always leave out gentleness or something like that in there. We always forget the one. But yeah, so that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. Do you know what the fruits of the Spirit are for? We don't often think about that one. We know what they are, but the fruits of the Spirit are actually these attributes grown in us that help us relate to others around us, right? They're for our use and our benefit, but they're not ultimately just for us. I mean, I'm not going to like connect with the Spirit and have more fruits of the Spirit in me and look in the mirror and be like, you're pretty fruity. Like, check that out. You're pretty loving and humble too. And like, you just don't do that. It's not something that you get and are like, you're proud of yourself because you've obtained this. They're not a trophy by any means, right? The fruits of the Spirit are actually for us to relate to the people around us. We're to be more loving. We're to be more joyful. We're to be more patient. We're to be more self-controlled, right? Ask your kids, ask your neighbors, ask a coworker how loving you are, or how joyful you are, or peaceful. See, these fruits are for the world around us. There's a whole world that needs to experience these. Why? Because as they experience the fruits of the Spirit, they're actually experiencing Christ himself. We're to bring Christ to the world, and the fruits of the Spirit are a way that we do that. So here's the kicker, though. If you and I try to live out true love, true joy, true peace, true patience and kindness, God knows self-control. If we try to do that on our own, we can often get tripped up very, very easily. You can't produce these fruits, this joy. It can't be done. You can't generate it. We're conduits, not generators, as Ken likes to say. It's the same way that I can't make an apple grow on a tree. I just can't make the growth of it happen. I can only control the environments for which the growth can take place, right? Jesus knew this. This is why if we look back at our passage in verse 4, it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And you can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. Here's another fill in the blank. It's flesh. You cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit in the flesh. We're created to bear fruit, right? But we can't do it in the flesh. So what's the flesh? Our flesh nature. It's on our own, apart from God. It's me doing my own thing, apart from what God would say would be healthy, right? Romans 8 says this. Those who let themselves be controlled by their lower natures, the flesh, live only to please themselves. But those who follow after the Holy Spirit find themselves doing the things that please God. Following after the Holy Spirit leads to life and peace. Do you hear the fruits of the Spirit in there? But following after the old nature leads to death. Because the old sinful nature within us is against God. So, this is why when we're trying harder to be joyful or patient or loving or self-controlled, it doesn't stick when we're just trying to gut it out and try harder on our own. It doesn't last for very long. And so, here's where I want to just use our little bit of an analogy over here. This has been very, very helpful for me. God, it's like a windstorm in here. Chocolate milk. Little known fact, I love chocolate milk. Gary loves chocolate milk, although he's told me he actually doesn't like it, so I'm teasing him if he can hear this. I love chocolate milk. I remember mowing my grandma's lawn. She lived on Gear Road, and I would ride my bike over, mow. I don't even know if I got paid, like money, but here's how I know I got paid. When I was done, I could go into the back refrigerator, I could open up the refrigerator and get the iced, like, coldest milk ever, and then go and get the big thing of Nestle's Quick Powder. You know what I'm talking about? And I would put like, well, a lot of Nestle's Quick Powder in it. Like it had grit and texture to it. It was a, don't shake your head at me, Amy. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. I love chocolate milk. Little known fact as well. When my kids were really little, and everyone, they would get up in the morning, I would make coffee for my wife and I, and I would make my kids chocolate milk ever since they were really little, probably because I wanted them to go to the refrigerator and entertain themselves while I still slept a little bit, but that's beside the fact. And so to this day, even this morning, my wife and I got coffee, my kids got chocolate milk, right? I have created an impossible situation, and I acknowledge that. So that's okay. So the visual is that we are the milk. So let me just pour us in here. And this is us, a container. I told you I love chocolate milk. Did I not get the biggest container ever? Exactly. This is us. We're created to be a container. We're created to hold the fruits of the Spirit. The syrup is the chocolate. The chocolate is the Holy Spirit. And if the goal of this analogy is going to be that the chocolate milk, like the chocolatey flavored milk, is the fruit of the Spirit in our life, we need to understand that when we don't have the Spirit in us, like when the branch is disconnected from the vine, when I just said when we're living by the flesh and operating in the flesh, we won't experience the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, right? So let's go back to verse 4, and it says this, remain in me, as I also remain in you, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, right? We need to remain in the vine. And it's interesting here because the word remain, that's used like 4 times in that one verse, another word for it is translated, or is abide, to abide in. It's this Greek word, meno, which literally means to continue to be present or to be continually kept. And the point, and this is a fill in the blank for you, is that when we remain or abide faithfully in Christ, we're filled with the Spirit. So filled is your fill in the blank there. The fruitful life comes as a result of being filled by the Holy Spirit. So if our desire is to have more love or joy or peace or patience or goodness or kindness, we're to be filled with the Spirit. Can't do it alone. Can't do it disconnected. So let's fill this up a little bit. I'm reminded of Ephesians 5, when Paul was looking at the church at Ephesus, who was getting maybe just a little bit too much with the wine. And he goes, guys, don't get drunk with the wine, right? Instead, be what? Filled with the Hershey syrup. That's the translation in the Greek, but you'd have to know that Greek in order to know that. Just kidding. So let's stand back for just a second, and what do you see? Look at that beautiful chocolate milk. Like if I were to go and take a big drink of this right now, I'm not going to take a drink of this right now. If I were to take a drink of this right now, would I experience the rich, heavenly taste of the chocolate? Why not? The chocolate's in there, right? If it's simply about being filled with the Spirit and then we get the good things of the Spirit, I could drink this right now and it would be wonderful, chocolatey tasting, right? No, there's a problem here, right? Well, we need to go back to this word abide or connection, because abide or remaining is not some passive thing. Oh, just kind of latch on to the branch, just latches onto the vine, it just sits there and something takes place. No, there's an active participating that takes place. It means more to it than just connection. Verse 7 and verse 10 say 2 important things, and I'll just tell you what it is. They talk about remaining in God's word and remaining in God's love. These are 2 truths of God's word, and letting that truth that we are loved and who we are of God's word settle deep into our souls is the practice that we do that activates the Spirit in our life. The only way that I know how to receive that is to faithfully practice being with God. So faithfully is what I want you to write down. We're created to bear fruit. We can't do it in the flesh. We are filled. The fruitful life comes as a result of being filled. Not just filled, but as we faithfully abide or remain in Christ. Right? Those last 2 fill in the blanks very much go together. So how do you remain in Christ? How do you abide in Christ? There's lots of ways. I mean, just the key relationships that you have, to have spiritual conversations, to go to someone when you're hurting or need encouragement. I mean, that's a way to connect with God because God lives in each one of us. And so as we do that together, a good small group, tell me that is not refreshing for your soul. Even just Bible study, getting into God's word and meditating on that and making that a daily part of your rhythm of your life is key to abiding and remaining with Christ. The way that we serve El Monte mission trip. Sign up. Go for it. How do you know you can't get time off work? Have you asked yet? We don't know. Like, when we serve and give of ourselves to other people, like, that activates something within us. We experience God. Spiritual practices such as silence or solitude. I have an app, it's called Abide, and it literally is like a guided kind of meditation through scripture that I listen to, and it's super helpful for me. And I put a reminder on my phone and I try to do it every morning. Perhaps you connect with Christ through like a good worship set. Like, get that Spotify channel and just like put your earbuds in and rock out. I mean, go to the beach, take a walk through nature. However you connect with God, the regular faithful connection of that is the thing that begins to permeate us, or permeate the Spirit within us and activate the Spirit within us. Now, please hear me. Don't hear me saying that you're the one making this chocolatey. Without the Spirit in the milk or the chocolate in the milk, it would not get chocolatey. This is not something that we're doing on our own. We're simply the ones participating. So I remember there's some times in my own life, and I do this regularly, where I know like the kids are starting to get a little bit crazy at home. I know this because I might receive a text or two from my wife that says, heads up, get home quick before I sell the children or something like that. And so I'm like, okay, as I come home, it's easy for me as a dad to be like, oh, I'm going to put a stop to this when I get home, right? And I find myself getting spun up. So I do my best to leave 5-10 minutes early from work and just take the back roads, the country roads. And I think about the verse where Jesus says, let the little children come to me, right? And it's a beautiful picture because I picture my own children running to Jesus and him embracing them. And all of a sudden, when I think about that, I'm like, ah, that's what I'm supposed to be like for my kids. There's something that releases in me, like the rage. It kind of releases a little bit, and I find myself more present. That's activating the Spirit within me. Am I gutting out trying to be more self-controlled or gentle or peaceful with my kids? No. I'm allowing the fruitful life of the Spirit filled in me to do that. And as I do, something amazing happens. All of a sudden, I'm fruity or chocolatey in this case. It's the action or the motion of our participation that begins to activate the chocolate. Philippians 2 says that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're not saving ourselves, but we are participating and working it out, so to speak. Guys, this is key. Because if we were to sit here for the next few hours and we were to let this sit, or we were to leave this to sit overnight, what would this look like? It would separate again, wouldn't it? And I know this because my kids often leave chocolate milk that they don't finish or drink in the refrigerator or out on a table or something like that. I told you I've created an impossible situation. And I go to look at it and they don't want to drink it again because it doesn't look the same as it once was. But I tell them, well, isn't the chocolate still in there? It needs to be stirred up and activated once again. And it's the same thing with you and I if we want the fruit of the Spirit to be evident and in our lives. We need to faithfully and continually invest in the stirring of our souls so the Spirit empowers and grows the fruit in our lives. But then there's this beautiful thing that happens as we're filled with the Spirit. Created to bear fruit, we can't do it in the flesh. We're filled with the Spirit. We faithfully remain and abide. And then remember, the fruits of the Spirit are so that you and I get to interact with the people around us, right? So, write in the word flow. Not the gal who takes your order at the diner, right? But there's a flow when we live moment by moment filled with the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, or the resources of the Spirit, or the kingdom resources, these are all the ways that we've talked about it before, will flow through us. Jesus said in John chapter 7, John records Jesus saying, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water shall flow from the inmost being of anyone who believes in me. Verse 39, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given. the flow that Jesus is talking about is the fruit of the Spirit, right? The kingdom resources, the love and the joy and the peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Yeah, I know this isn't a Mother's Day sermon in particular, but I can't think of a more demanding job than parenting, especially mothering, right? A job which is in desperate need of kingdom resources and the fruits of the Spirit. And it's not just parenting. It's the job that you go to, the relationships that you're in, the neighbor that's across the street that may be hard. It's the person or the family that you may be in conflict with, or the person that you feel God nudging you to go and love on in a way, and you just don't feel like you're resourced for it. Now, all this being said, let me get really practical as I kind of close here. Some of you may be asking, I don't even know how to get started with this. I got a pastor, I came to church, and he made chocolate milk on the platform. Like, what's that all about? Like, I get the whole fact of, like, I want that more, that love and that joy and peace and stuff, but I don't even know where to start. Well, I have a couple of questions for you. Is the chocolate in the milk, like, step one? Do you have the Spirit? Do you have a relationship with God in which he said, I will give you the Spirit to help guide and direct and empower your life? If not, let's talk. Seriously, would love to have a conversation with you. Dan would love to have a conversation with you. We'll have people up on the platform afterwards. Like, moms will wait for you, but I will have a conversation with you. This is the first thing that has to happen, right? Another great question to ask is this. How chocolatey are you? I mean, that's not like a technical, but like how the fruits of the Spirit manifest in your life. Again, you want to get courageous? Ask people close to you. My wife and I did this with our children recently. It was nice and not pretty, but it wasn't all bad. We just asked kind of like, how are mom and dad doing? And we got honesty, which I'm not quite sure why I was surprised when they said this, the things that they said. But it showed some areas that were like, we are deficient in this resource. And it was a good reminder that we have to go back and make sure that we're doing our part to be in the presence of God's truth in our lives, his word and what it says about us, and then knowing that we're his beloved and remaining in his love. Here's the big part, though. If you have the syrup in the milk, but it's all settled to the bottom, how are you going to do your part to stay connected to the vine? What's your pathway, your connection, or your rhythm going to be to actually stir the chocolate or stir your life so that the chocolate can permeate through the milk? What are you going to do? Because if I know this, if you don't have something, if you don't create something that's intentional, when you get bumped and you find yourself needing some of those resources, they will be hard to come by, right? It's not an instant chocolate milk thing that gets all chocolatey. There's a stirring that takes place. And so the challenge is on a daily, regular rhythm. You and I are connecting with God and connecting with the Spirit so that we have a chocolatey, we have this syrup that is kind of resourced us and available like when we need it, so that the people around us and the situations around us can experience Christ through us. You and I are created to bear fruit. We can't do it in the flesh. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we faithfully abide and remain connected to him. There will be an outflow of the kingdom resources in our life. And the promise is that our life, our joy, comes from a union so strong with Jesus living in us and through us. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and that fruit produced in our life, it's his fruit, which is why we're reminded this morning, people who live the abundant life are people who live the joy of a fruitful life. So my encouragement as you leave this place today, my challenge is to take a huge gulp of chocolate milk this morning. You are God's beloved, especially you ladies, you moms, grandmothers, sisters, daughters. May the Spirit lavish upon you the wonderful gifts of the Spirit and empower you to experience the joy of the Father smiling down on us all this morning. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the gift of your Spirit and the gift of the Spirit's resources, your resources in our lives. What an incredible gift. May we not squander that gift, Lord. May we participate in a graceful, loving, non-shaming, non-condemning way to work with you as you let those resources inhabit our souls, so that not only do we live with those resources, but we can give that love and the fruits of the Spirit away to those around us. We love you, and we're grateful for this space this morning. Pray this in your Son's name, and everyone said, amen. Would you be willing to stand, and I will give you a closing benediction out of Romans 15, which I think is quite fitting for us this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of Hershey's chocolate syrup. Have a great Sunday, guys.